sitting on a bar stool. Kind of short and kind of square. Through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
In your
where it
soul.
Settles, all right. At least it's settling in somewhere. Maybe the virus will settle somewhere. Like in the middle of the desert where it's 150 degrees. There you go. Well, how you doing, Wynn?
So far, so good. How about you?
I'm good. How you doing, Richard?
Great. I saw a sign out front. I was walking by. It said, this place is for those with faces for radio. Thought I'd walk in and say what's up.
Well, you fit right in.
He has a great shirt on. Richard Gallardo's here with us. And he has a great shirt on. It says, CNN is fake news.
No, it's not. Yay. No, it's not. No, it's not.
Anyway, we are broadcasting live.
Sort of.
We are podcasted. We're archived.
Sometimes.
From KCNR. 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better. If you have any questions or comments, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567.
So,
a couple of announcements
yes.
need to make here. Number one, we will not be having
a meeting,
tomorrow night. No,
how
we
come?
Won't be. Well, because I guess the Reading Police Department now is saying that they have an interesting thing they put on Facebook that to report non-essential businesses. Okay, what is a non-essential business?
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got we'll talk about that too. We have
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot about that. Anyway, if you have any questions, comments, again, 605-4567, 530 area code. We will not be having a meeting at the church that shall remain nameless at 2570 South Bonneview Road. Winster, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Good.
How about you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just tired of my rights being trampled on. I mean, I certainly understand the fact
you don't have any anymore, so how can they be trampled on?
Well, you know.
You're in California.
What about the Ninth Amendment? I mean, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, you know. I mean, Article 4, Section 4, I mean, the United States Constitution, all these places are being stymied.
Mm-hmm.
Our Second Amendment rights are being stymied by the authorities and the totalitarian authority,
mm-hmm.
many believe,
yep.
that we have in California. Anyway, Richard is here. He's got some stuff he's going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the governor's edict, his executive order. Is it constitutional? Is it not constitutional? He's going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about what's happening here locally and what's happening in your county. If you're in any county in the state of Jefferson, frankly, in any county in the state of California. But we've talked to our kids. We have kids in
several counties.
yeah, Redondo Beach, Alameda County. They're really locked down. It's really something to see how the government is overreached, even right here in River City, in a lot of people's opinions. So, Richard, why don't you give us a little background on who you are and give us a little background on what you're going to talk about here.
Excuse me, folks. A little bit of allergies there. Yeah, so, you know, I was on last week, and Terry asked me to come back in studio. Sounds better, I hope.
It does.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on. Anybody watching the international and national news, this stuff's happening across the world. As Terry said, this is happening here locally. And the action to I would say, civil disobedience is probably the appropriate term here. And we need to be civil about it, but we need to not obey these unconstitutional edicts, laws, orders, whatever you want to call them. We need to not do that. This country was founded on self-governance, on self-reliability. Self-reliance, and it needs to, that's where it needs to go back to, and that's, of course, what Jefferson's all about. So when I'm my background, I'm retired military, 21 years, seven of that in the National Guard, which we're going to be covering a little bit on the National Guard. The rest of that in the Navy as a military police officer in the state of California. So I'm pretty adept at reading, interpreting the state codes, state regulations. I did that for many, many years. And I already mentioned the Guard. The third item that I don't know if we'll have time, but it's extremely important. I have the information on how the initiative process started in California in 1911 affects our sheriff today and his ability to protect our rights. So I have some very, very foundational information on that. So
why don't you start with that? That was Section 13 about the Attorney General. I think that's where you wanted to go.
Sure, sure. So the quick background on the initiative process, 1911, and I have all the documents in front of me, by the way. Also, Terry and Wynn
have We have copies, too.
And they have them. So everything I report, as I told Terry, I don't make stuff up. Everything I have, there's documentation or some kind of proof to back it up. So California Proposition 7 introduced October of 1911. The legislators of California referred it to the people for a vote. So number one, is that how a constitutional republic is supposed to perform? No. I can hear everybody in the background. No, that's not how it's supposed to work. The people are not supposed to vote as in a democracy in a constitutional republic. That is unconstitutional. And I have the U.S. constitutional section here somewhere, which we'll get to sometime this morning. But it's unconstitutional. So just the legislators referring out to the voters for a vote, they shouldn't have done that in the first place. Unconstitutional. So the initiative proposition process that occurs in this state, in any state, are all unconstitutional. It is not the Republican form of government, that we're supposed to have. So that was 1911. It passed overwhelmingly by 76% of a yes vote, and hence was born the initiative proposition process. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah, that is Article 18, Section 3 of the California Constitution was specifically states that the California Constitution can be amended by the people. The thing is that when you're talking about an amendment, that has to be done by the legislative body of a state, legislative body of Congress. And it's an interesting dynamic that Richard's talking about here, because a lot of the things he's saying here is the contradiction of the California Constitution, which contradicts itself, because in Article 3, Section 1, it states that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, which means that anything in the United States Constitution, which is what Richard's talking about, the United States Constitution trumps, no pun intended, the California Constitution. Go ahead, sir.
And so the next part of this initiative process that directly affects our sheriff. So 1934, Proposition 4 was introduced. And it's very interesting to what, because the political environment, the criminal environment that was occurring, the gangs with the Tommy guns, et cetera, it was extremely interesting to read what I found. And this is the original. What I have is a scanned microfiche of the original document. And I got this on. You can find it several places. The California Secretary of State's website has archives on propositions. I actually found it on the UC Hastings Scholarship Repository. Same information. But it's interesting. So this Proposition 4, titled Attorney General Initiative Constitutional Amendment, I hate to read, folks, because I know some people are going to – it's just not interesting usually to hear people read. But this information is very important. So this Prop 4 declares Attorney General the state's chief law officer, shall see that all state laws enforced, directly supervised DAs, sheriffs, and other enforcement officers. So our DA, our sheriff, in the state of California, all of them, are directly supervised by the state attorney general. Again, this was introduced by initiative and passed again, unconstitutional. Direct democracy, unconstitutional. So there's a reason that most of the other states in our great country are not under this particular type of supervision. Are the sheriffs in most other states are sovereign constitutional offices. And our state unconstitutionally took that away from our sheriff. So I hope, sheriff, if you're listening, or some of your employees, maybe you can maybe call me, ask some questions, email me, call the station. Okay, this is the education that you didn't get in the law enforcement academy. This is the education I did not get in my law enforcement academy. And this stuff is critical. So, but it's interesting. I'm not going to read it all, but it talks about Babyface Nelsons, the Dillingers. Again, it goes back to the organized crime when it was really really a problem back then. And it's like six paragraphs. And the person that wrote this, was the argument for the proposition. So there's usually an argument against, argument for. This is the argument for. And it was written by Earl Warren. Yeah. Anybody know who Earl Warren is?
Surprise, surprise.
Okay, for those of you that don't know, he eventually wound up being the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court.
And he came out of California.
And he was the District Attorney of Alameda County at the time. No surprise there. Look up his history on his rulings as a justice, and you'll see where
it's all been generational. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Guys, we're going to have to go off to a break here.
No, we don't want those stinking breaks.
She's shaking her head.
No breaks.
So,
no.
Talk to me, Sue.
No, she says no.
Hi, I'm not at this point, but we will have a break shortly.
Oh, there you
You're
go.
You're awesome. We love Sue. Yeah. Go ahead, Richard.
So that's it. That's it on the basis of the initiative process, how it's unconstitutional, how the voters unconstitutionally took our proper constitutional representation away. From themselves, by the way, when they voted for it, they took it away from themselves.
Also, to piggyback on what you were saying before about Article 18, Section 3, it says, this article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by the legislatures of the several states as provided in the Constitution within 7 years from the date of the submission hereof to the states by the Congress. So this happened back in
34.
So do you think by 41 that they had it ratified by the several states?
No, something happened in 1941.
Yeah, so I think this all went away. This has got to be we've got to do our homework, folks. It wasn't ratified, therefore it's null and void, correct?
Well, actually, I'm looking at it right here, Article 18, amending and revising the Constitution. In Section 3, it says, amending and revising the Constitution, the electors may amend the Constitution by initiative. And I know that they still adhere to that because that's what Tim Draper did and what he used when he wanted to split the state into three separate states. And again, when he wanted to split it into six separate states. So he used that then. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's what it says here. And I see what you're talking about. You've got Section 2. But, again, Section 3 is the electors may amend the Constitution by initiative. So I don't know that that's – I mean, they used it up until
– What was that, Section 3, where?
Article 18.
Yeah.
Section 3.
That's the one I just read.
Well, wait a second. Well – Okay, let me see here. Let me double-check this. I mean, it is... I got it right here. And no, it's...
you need a bigger stack of papers.
I mean, you guys should see me flipping through all this grid.
If you're ready to go to a break, we're ready.
Okay, go to the break, and then we'll come back to this once we're done with the break. Oh, here it is. Wait, real quick.
Yep.
No, it's right here. I got it right here. Look at Article 18, amending and revising the Constitution. California Constitution, Article 18, amending and revising the Constitution, Section 3. The electors may amend the Constitution by initiative because time has come.
For us to get the hell out of California.
Hey, man. Let's get her done.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance for the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
The California Teachers Association is looking to add, quote, transgender and binary youth to the students who can leave class without notifying their parents for, quote, medical reasons. This means students can pursue gender transition without their parents knowing about it.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Redding Kia. RedingKia.com.
Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little
Sue is the only one in the room with rhythm.
Some people couldn't get it if they could buy it at the store.
That's true. Well, if you put it on the toilet paper aisle.
There you go.
Anyway, before we went to break, what was going on there when we were talking about article this and article that is Wynn was quoting from the Constitution of the United States.
Uh-huh.
And Article 18, Section 3 is from the California Constitution. And the point we both want to make is that, again, because of Article 3, Section 1 in the California Constitution, mm-hmm. anything that's stated in the United States Constitution is considered the supreme law of the land, and California is an inseparable part of that. So what the guys have been talking about is the United States Constitution, what Wynn just read, trumps Article 18 of amending and revising the Constitution in the California Constitution.
That's where I was going.
That's where we were going.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. It's like, hey, wait. That's the supreme law of the land. Those are the words in the California Constitution about the U.S. Constitution. So it's the supreme law of the land. It's the rule book. It's the one that you can carry in your pocket. And it's the one most people, well, a lot of people can recite lots of things out of it. So that's the one we need to pay attention to. That is the rule book.
Yes, it is. I couldn't agree with you more. And Richard, there was a could you call it an edict? Or could you call it a suggestion? Or what would you call it that came out of a RPD on Friday, the Reading Police Department? In what is that now, the snitch law or something? What is that?
Yeah, businesses reporting businesses. And
unbelievable.
It won't stop there if we don't fight it.
Okay, so who did that come from? Did that come from the city council because they gave the directive to the Reading Police Department? How did that work?
I didn't have the time to research it. But the post is on the Reading Police Facebook page.
Maybe one of our listeners will do that, and they'll give us a call and let us know.
Yeah. Hello, Jimmy.
Because we have some good information gatherers out there. They're awesome. And the thing is, I question that because city council, for the most part, is made up of business folks, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, we vote for them, too, or we call them as necessary.
Yeah.
Well, I think... one of the things that was written, and I read it this morning, and you know, one of the things that was written in that edict or suggestion, well, I guess it's not a suggestion, is that anybody who reports a business that's non-essential, and they have a place you can go that tells you what's essential and not non-essential. Anybody that reports wants to report a business that's non-essential, that's open, can go to the RPD website and they can log on and they can they have a certain spot now where they can address their grievance of someone being open that shouldn't be open. And what the first thing will happen is that RPD will refer that to Shasta County Health, and Shasta County Health will get a hold of you as a business that's non-essential, and that will happen. And then if they can't get you to comply because, you know, you still want to keep your barbershop open or something, if they can't get you to comply, then what's going to happen is they'll send the police over, and the police will make you comply. And there's some really scary stuff that the health department can do, and I think I'm segueing right into where Richard wants to go.
Yeah, I think, in fact, I know. I said that last Sunday on the radio. I said the health department will show up at your door with law enforcement, and then look what Reading Police posts 5 days later. Amazing. So I want to close the loop on the initiative and how it affects our sheriffs, and then we can move on. So California Constitution, Article 5, Section 13, it repeats that the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer. And the second half of that section, whenever in the opinion of the Attorney General, any law of the state is not being adequately enforced in any county, it shall, keyword, shall be the duty of the Attorney General to prosecute any violations of law. So, remember, the Attorney General is now under the direct supervision, and the DA under direct supervision of the California Attorney General. And we can all trust him, right, guys, gals, everybody? We trust him and with every fiber of our being.
See?
No.
See, senor. So, even if we have a sheriff that interposes, stands between the citizens and the greater government, the Attorney General, he's going to pull this out of his hat. And he's going to send in his own people to come in and take
over.
And
who are they?
Very good question.
Are they from out of state?
Very good question.
Or out of country?
Very good question, and we'll cover that. But so I'm just closing the loop on this whole initiative sheriff, his powers, the state U.S. constitutions, and how that all relates to each other. So that's it on that.
Wow.
So who does he send in?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
What's their name? Is it the State Guard?
Do they speak English?
I don't know.
They might not.
Oh.
Are they from the East Coast? Or
boy.
Yeah.
You know, Canada? Are they from who knows where? Mexico?
Yeah. Yeah. So if we're ready, we can move on to the next topic. I see we're already halfway past the hour.
That's all right. Keep going. We're good.
Okay. So I don't want to go over a whole bunch of the health and safety codes like I did last week, but I will do some summaries of that information. So the governor's edict, we're calling it, and I have it printed in front of me, Executive Order N-33-20.
Is that constitutional?
It's not.
Oh. No.
Why am I whispering?
Because it's
okay.
It's not constitutional.
We should be yelling that from the rooftops.
So Terry mentioned last week Mark Muser?
Muser.
Okay.
Yep.
He actually, once I got back and I did some further research, Mark Muser did a really good job covering all this. He cited state constitution. He was very generic on federal constitution, but he was citing state case laws. He did actually a really good job on it, so kudos to him for doing all that.
And maybe we could have our little Patriot Sally repost that clip, if she would, you know, so people can see it
again.
Yes,
repost the clip on Mark
Sally,
Muser.
If you could do that for us, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. And Mark Muser has his own Facebook page, so if anybody likes his work, go to his Facebook page and look at all of his work. So, yes, we are to heed the state public health directives that is on this order.
Yeah.
From the governor. So Mark Muser already said, hey, that just means you're to take it into consideration. But when you get to the second half of the first page of this order, it says, I, state public health officer, order all individuals living in the state to stay home or at their places of residence So a state unelected official is ordering us, okay? That's what does order mean, Wynn? I order you.
I tell you to stay put, command you, whatever.
Is that optional?
No.
No, it's not, is it?
No.
So this unelected bureaucrat thinks that they have the constitutional or even legal authority to tell us what to do.
That's right.
And, of course, we all know that that's not correct.
Well, there's one thing I want to add to that, and that is, folks, you need to write this down, so I'll say it twice. Look up United States Code, USC, Title 18, Code Section 42, Title 18, United States Code 241 and 242. 242 specifically states that under the color of law, no one can deprive you of your constitutional rights. Now, that means if a police officer or a health and safety person or someone from Shasta County Health deprives you of any of your constitutional rights, it's a felony. So please look that up, Title 18, United States Code, Section 242, Deprivation of Rights Under the Color of Law. That's the one you want because those people can be held accountable. They also can be held accountable civilly. One other thing that that nobody talked about is the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So in other words, they can't take any constitutional right from you. That's the Ninth Amendment. There's a lot of really incredible stuff going on right now.
There is.
And if you guys are okay with just saying, oh, okay, we'll just comply with all this stuff.
Nope.
Go right ahead. But I'm telling you that this is really bad. Title 18, United States Code, Code Section 242. You need to find that stuff. We use that on the Highway Patrol in Sacramento.
Because they are the guards mm-hmm. for the governor at the Capitol.
Well, and we were, the Highway Patrol told us, actually came up to me and said, what are you doing here? And I'm standing on the steps of the Capitol. And I said, pardon me. And he asked me if I was leading some sort of event. And I said, I wasn't. And I referred this to him. And I said, I want you to read that before you say another word to me.
Yep.
Because I'm going to record this on. I'm going to make sure that this gets known. So the deal is that we have to understand if you know what's going on. There's just a few short things. It's like a paragraph, but we need to start memorizing this stuff and knowing what's going on so we can protect ourselves. Because right now, if we don't protect the Second Amendment and we don't protect the Constitution, we're in a world of hurt, folks.
Amen.
I mean, right here in River City, you've got something that came out by RPD where they have this little website now, this little area where they can go. You can call in and say, gee whiz, you know, Joe Blow is out there. He's washing the side of a building. So is that essential?
It is for him. He's got to pay the bills.
You bet. So
pay the bills.
This thing is really – I'm not saying that there isn't a real threat out there. And I'm not saying that people don't have this, you know, this virus. And I'm not saying that that's not real. I'm saying that there is an extreme overreaction, and there certainly is government overreach.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to go off to a break real quick. Sue's able to do that now.
And I have Steve Stewart queued up.
Okay.
And this is the one that you picked out, Terry.
There okay. you go.
Can't go to the bathroom. Got nothing to wipe with. Cause all of the toilet paper is gone. Wasting my day away in Coronaville. Searching for one package of Angel Soft. Some people claim that there's a virus to blame. This might be China's fault.
Hi, this is Linda Bodd. Join me May 15th, 2020 at 12 o'clock p.m. in the Redding Rodeo Grounds in Redding, California. Chicks and Chaps will be conducting their annual fundraiser to benefit local individuals impacted by breast cancer. The event will be emceed by yours truly with guest speaker Lynn Fritz, licensed marriage and family therapist. Limited to 100 tickets, which are available through Facebook at Chicks and Chaps Redding or through ReddingRodeo.com. Think pink and see you there.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Make no payment for up to 120 days. That's 4 months on all new 2020 Kia Sportages, Sorentos, Fortes, Souls, and Optimas. No first payment for 120 days on approval of credit. Ends March 31st, 2020. Redding Kia, reddingkia.com.
Sounds like John Lennon. I guess the Beatles could do a lot with two chords.
It's John Lennon.
It is John Lennon. Awesome.
I'm too young to remember those guys, whoever they are.
You don't remember she was just 17?
No.
There's a new version.
Uh-oh.
She was just 17.
No.
If you know what I mean, and the way she sneezed was way beyond compare.
Nice.
I'd rather dance with my mother than walk on over there.
All right, Richard, what you got, buddy?
That's a hard act to follow. I have a face for radio, and I have a voice for radio too. What does this mean to you, the individual? Okay, we're talking code, sections, numbers. What does that mean to you? So on the executive order, there are quite a few safety codes, some government codes listed, which is their quote-unquote authority to act over you.
Mm-hmm.
You. And I'm going to summarize some of these things that are so important. So first of all, the Government Emergency Services Act in California, it starts at a particular government code number. You can all look it up. I have the documents in front of me. I want to try to keep this concise. Hopefully we get some callers. The Emergency Services Act confers emergency powers on our governor. So one of the codes at the beginning of this act, governor may make, amend, and rescind orders and regulations necessary to carry out provisions of the chapter. That's the emergency services chapter. Here's the better part. The orders and regulations shall have the force and effect of law. So we have an executive, the governor, enforcing laws that he is making up on a whim. I thought that was the legislative branch's job there, Terry, to make laws.
Yep.
Not the executive branch?
See.
I'm just wondering.
Yep. You're right.
I'm just wondering.
You're right.
So he gets himself all these powers to make these rules. They call them orders and regulations necessary with the force and effect of law. So that means fines. That means arrests. That means jail time.
Taking your property away.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
All this stuff we're reading is under his edict of executive order for this state of emergency.
I wonder if we had a balanced legislature here in California, you know, with a two-party system or even three-party, four-party, however many. If it was just balanced, if this would be something that would be happening here in California.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I question that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Well, one of the things is that the California government doesn't follow its own constitution.
Really?
They don't follow its own. They don't follow the United States Constitution. As De Leon said, you know, we'll just make any law you guys want. They have to take us to court.
Yeah, we'll settle it in court.
Yeah, yeah, and what happens when we go to court? Well, let's see. We raise money to go to court, and they use our taxpayer money to fight against us. So we money.
We pay for it twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the real deal is, folks, is that things like this, I think, bring to a head and bring to a position of where do we go from here? That's why we've looked at the remedy being the state of Jefferson. A smaller state is the only remedy for this stuff. And, again, we'll go back to Richard here in a second, but I want to just make sure this is real clear. If you have a better idea, rather than splitting this state, we have never heard it. We ask that question all the time. We have never heard a better idea, right? Ever, ever. So, Richard, what say you, sir?
So, interesting. Another one of these codes, excuse me, the health officer, that would be the county level health officer. If they believe, reason to believe, any case of the disease, they may also issue regulations. And another thing, they shall take measures as may be necessary to prevent the spread of disease. Shall. Doesn't say may. It says shall. So when your county health officers, under who knows what scientific pretense, says we have a disease or an infection, the law says I shall, I must do something. Instead of giving them the discernment, Terry likes that word, the discernment, the discretion to act. And this ties in very shortly here. The next code section, the department, which is the State Health and Safety Department. I probably have that title incorrect, but it's the State Health Department. May advise all local health authorities. And when it is in the judgment that the public health is menaced, it shall control and regulate their action. Let me read that again. The department may advise all local health authorities. So the state advising the local health authorities. When in the judgment of the public health is menaced, it shall control and regulate their action. The state shall control the local health departments. Hmm. That's what that says.
Interesting. Hmm.
So somebody at the state level says, well, we're just going to take over.
Yeah.
That's it. And they're going to use this law to say, this is what says we can take over. And now we're going to take care of everything in the state. Health officers, you will do what we say. Period. Interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are 58 health officers in the state of California, I'm assuming.
I'm assuming each county has a health department.
Unless some of the counties like Alpine may not because of the population.
Yeah, Modoc maybe.
Yeah, that's just, you know, the smaller, less populated counties may have to share one with a neighboring county. I don't know that for sure, but I'm just speculating.
Yep. So another code, the department may destroy, that's the state department, the state health department may destroy objects as bedding, carpets, household furnishings, materials, that's the catch-all, clothing, animals, when ordinary means of disinfection are considered unsafe.
So they can come in and they can wipe out your whole home and your...
Or your business.
Your animals, your business,
yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
And there's no reimbursement. There's nothing for that.
Not on this code.
Not
on this code there is.
I've got a question. If, you know, because all of this can happen because your local sheriff cannot intercede. All of that can happen because of the attorney general being the
supervisor. Of the sheriffs.
Yes, and he's the top dog, the top authority. Well, let me ask you this. When you become a sheriff, you take an oath to the United States Constitution, and you take an oath to the California Constitution. So here's your way out, sheriffs. If you take it from the United States Constitution and the state of California, and the state of California is telling you one thing, and the Constitution of the United States is telling you another thing, since we have Article 3, Section 1 of the California Constitution, the United States Constitution trumps that. So I don't want to hear any more malarkey about how the top dog in law enforcement could possibly be Becerra and our attorney general and how a sheriff couldn't stand and intercede in that position because he has the jurisdiction to interpose, and therefore he can nullify anything. Now, I mean, anything that's unlawful or anything that's unconstitutional. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody let me know or give me, that's just the way I see it. I mean,
just looking for feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the way I see it. So I'm trying to figure out exactly, how the attorney general can possibly make the sheriff do anything. And if he's a supervisor and he supervises, but is he the chief law enforcement officer, and do they have to actually break their constitutional oaths, both of them, to follow what this guy says?
Well, and he's breaking the constitutional oath. He took one to the state and took one to the feds, right?
You're talking about the attorney general?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Now, if he's breaking the oath, okay, off to the hooscow. You don't do that.
Well, okay.
I thought you drank hooscow.
You do. You do drink hooscow. We probably need hooscow right now. Maybe that's why Sue's smiling.
That is
a bottle of hooscow in there.
What are you drinking in there?
That's it. But, okay, so the deal is, all right, the deal is that you've got a situation where the sheriff has a constitutional right, actually an obligation,
yes,
with an oath. But what are the ramifications, and who are the, what body oversees that to where you can have consequences for the attorney general? That would, I would think, be the federal attorney general, I would think.
I would think so.
Because if an oath to the Constitution would have to be, you know, something that, I would think. So if somebody has an answer to that one,
well, also,
it's a tricksy one.
It comes back to us, the sovereign citizens of the said state. We're the ones that have to bring things forward to show that these things have been violated. And whoever the violators are need to be held accountable. So it can work from the very sovereign citizen of the state of California within said county, said city, all the way to the top. It has to work that way. Our founders wouldn't want it to work any other way, in my humble opinion.
Well, you're right. And if there's been law broken, that takes it to a different realm, because with the laws in United States Code, there's actually law there,
mm-hmm,
that has consequences.
Right.
Whereas breaking your oath to the Constitution, I'd like to know what the consequence is for that. What is the consequence? I mean, is there a consequence? Sure. You're a liar?
Should,
I mean, what's the consequence?
Should be.
Liar, liar, pants on fire?
Right.
I mean,
should be impeachment and removal from office.
Immediate.
Well, it should be.
Well, due process.
Due process.
Due process, of course.
That's right, due process.
It should be, but again, right, it's the type of thing where, okay, you have Title 8, United States Code, Code Section 1324, where the Secretary of State, the Governor, the Attorney General, the Senate Leader, the Assembly Leader, have all violated that law, which states that you cannot harbor or shield an illegal alien, not an undocumented immigrant,
okay,
an illegal alien.
We know that, and we've talked about it, but has anything been, quote-unquote, air quotes here, filed with that in regard,
well,
to whomever needs to be recipient of that information? Has anybody filed any of that stuff? If not, then I think that we need to make that happen. You know, any one of us within the 23 counties, actually any of the 58 counties, any of the 58 counties in California can do that. So if you're a sovereign citizen of one of the 58 counties and you are compelled to do that, I would strongly encourage you to do so.
Yeah. I have one more code on this.
Okay, well, we got to go off to a break,
sure,
right now, real
okay,
quick first, and then when we come back, we can do the extra codes. All right.
Time has come.
51.
Get her.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs.
We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
Hi, I'm Dan Flynn. I'm the presiding judge at the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those people who wish to serve on the grand jury. To apply and to get additional information, please go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
That's right. Now is your chance to apply. The Shasta County Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. Visit our website for more information.
Please apply now.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of years without Christ. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I can.
Welcome.
See the welcome.
Hey, did Sally send that song in, Sue?
No, I chose it.
Did you? Is that Jack
well
Brown?
Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Yep.
It's no. He was testing off
of them.
I love Jackson Brown.
Jackson Brown Street. There's some clarification. Mark Kent is here, and he's going to talk. Richard's going to stay with him through Sovereign Minds. And Mark made a really good point. You know, there is such a thing as the Supremacy Clause, and also everything that has to do with the Constitution. We talk about it being the supreme law of the land, only in the sphere, the influence of the document. That's why we have states' rights. Mark pointed out a very good point. When we say that it's the California Constitution or the United States Constitution is recognized as the supreme law of the land in its context. Okay,
yep.
In its context. So the states can do anything else they want to do outside of that.
No, disagree.
Well, that's what he's going to come on and he's going to.
Okay.
Okay, that's. But I want to throw that out there now.
Okay.
Because he's going to come in, he's going to explain that, and much better than I just did.
Okay.
And but you know, in other words, what Mark Kent is saying is it's not as black and white as we may be painting it to be, and I understand that. I know that Chris Ann Hall did a great study on you know, that the state really has the power, and she's right, because remember the Constitution doesn't give us our rights; it just tells the government
what they
the
can
federal
do.
Government what they can do.
Right. Yeah.
And if it's not in there, then
they can't do it.
But there is some stuff, of course, California state does do that's, you know, that basically is illegal. Yeah. So
that's why they've had 500 and some odd amendments to the California Constitution.
Right. It, exactly, 571.
Yeah, just as many amendments on the Constitution of California as there are state agencies.
Over 800. Over 800. That's on one of my California websites that I got this a California document.
800 changes?
It says over 800 amendments to the California Constitution.
Oh, God, it's worse than I thought.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. I have two more points. We're almost at the end of the hour. I have two more quick points.
Okay, go for
it. Okay, go for it, brother.
So we were talking about how this affects you, everybody, you.
Uh-huh.
The last code, and I'm going to give you the number because this is important, Health and Safety Code 120140. Upon being informed by a health officer of any contagion, infection, communicable disease, the department, that's the state health department, may take measures as are necessary to ascertain the nature of the disease and prevent the spread. To that end, the department, this is the state, and remember the state department can take control of the local health department, folks. We covered that.
Now, that's 120140?
120140.
Oh, excuse me.
The department, the state, if it considers proper, may take possession or control of the body of any living person. What's that song? They're coming to take me away. Ha ha, they're coming to take me away. Hee-hee.
Yeah. Gary.
That's in the law, folks. Any questions on that, you guys?
I would bring that up on the next program and bring that up on the next program. Mm-hmm. And then, see, the thing is that we have to find things that are truly constitutional and truly not constitutional. You know, we've asked people a lot of questions. We've thrown out a lot of things here.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's not as simple as all this, but we do know that the way that laws are construed and constructed in California has to do with what? The fact that there isn't adequate representation.
That's right.
And that's been the whole issue. And the other issue is the court system being what it is. It has been difficult. But, again, I'm going to be interested in hearing what Mark Kent has to say about, you know, the fact that the Constitution in its context, yes, it is the supreme law of the land, but it's only in its context, not what we think or what can be done outside of it. So that's going to be an interesting discussion.
Do you know what I think we should do, on, especially on stuff like this? We need to have an online Zoom program, you know, where everybody, you can get linked through your computer, through your phone, what have you. You can hear, you can see what's going on. The documents can be shown. You can see what's going on. You can do your research simultaneously while you're in this program, and it can go as short as you want it, or it can go as long as you want it.
Nice.
And you can have any number of people on there. I think we should do something like that to inform the sovereign voters who are stuck at home, having to stay inside for their own safety, especially the, you know, especially the elderly. If they're stuck at home because, you know, for this very cause, you know, why not? You give them something to work on. And especially the older the citizen is, the more they know about the Constitution. It's kind of funny how that worked here in the state of California, because 1962 they started dumbing down everybody and doing all that fun stuff in the schools. So we need to make sure that we get people educated. And I would hazard to say that there might be a few children, young kids, whatever, young adults might chime in on this as well. So this could be something that could be very good.
That's a great idea. Richard, we have about 2 minutes left, buddy. So
right.
How do you want to button this hour up? And again, I want to remind everybody that Richard will be on with Linda and Mark Kent on the next program, Sovereign Minds. What say you, sir?
So on the next program, since we're almost out of time, we'll talk a little bit about the California National Guard and the California State Military Reserve and what role they may play if this gets worse. And I think it still will get worse. If anybody wants to contact me, get copies of documents. I wrote a letter to the Reading City Council and sent it out to them to give the Reading Police Chief an order to rescind his last announcement and actually apologize for it. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, get any documents, information, et cetera, I'm going to give him my email address. R as in Robert, J as in John. Last name is Gallardo, G-A-L-L-A-R-D as in David. O as an ocean at hotmail.com. That's all I have right now.
That's a lot.
Well, you could tell that we're definitely a conservative program because of the fact that you used O for ocean rather than O for Oprah.
Or right now, oh my God.
But is that your truth or my truth or our truth or the truth or untruth or?
Speaking of truth.
Oh, boy.
We have
Nick is on the line. Nick,
oh, Nick.
You got about 30 seconds, buddy. What's
up? No. He's not there anymore. Speaking of truth, local media. I just wanted to point this out real quick because I've been very frustrated with the local media over the years. And it's talking about the fourth coronavirus case. Real quickly, officials believe the patient contracted the virus in the area known with a known community transmission. Health officials would not specify the area they believe the patient contracted the virus. Scary. The patient is still hospitalized in Sacramento. What has happened with all these patients, and the one patient who passed away had heart surgery down in Sacramento and came home, had the coronavirus, and is related to the younger guy who lives here with the coronavirus. All this is brought in to our area from Sacramento. Is that done by design?
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Don't rush. It's really bad.